Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. So good, so good. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. So good. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. So good, so good. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You are good all the time and all the time. You are good, say you are good all the time and all the time. You are good, you are good all the time and all the time. You are good, you are good.
For who you are.
We worship you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you. For who you are.
Good all the time. And all the time.
You are good.
Oh, deserve the glory. Yes, you are. You deserve the glory.
Yes.
Only
yes, yes.
You, only you, you deserve the glory. Yes, you do. You deserve the glory.
Come on, keep singing that you deserve the glory. Raise up your hands, God. You are worthy. Somebody say, you are worthy. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Side, just stay right here. The ushers are going to serve you. If you're on this side, the ushers are going to serve you. If you're in the middle, just come on down and don't just come to Rebecca, come to Edgar too. Okay? Ushers, if you're an usher, raise your hand. I want to talk to you for a minute. Ushers, and I'm coaching, teaching, training. Do it quietly. Serve the people without talking. Can we do that? All right. Let's continue to worship God. Amen. Sing it with me. As the deer panteth for
the water so my soul longs out to thee.
You alone.
You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you.
Again, as the deer.
As the deer panted for the water, so my soul longs after you. Alone on my heart's desire, and I long to worship you.
As the deer.
As the deer panted for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you.
You alone.
For you alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone make my spirit rich. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you.
You know, take the bread, put it over your head. You know, the Bible says that we are not to forget all his benefits. And I preach this because I see it from the beginning to the end. God has revealed himself as Jehovah Rapha. You know what that is? That's Hebrew for God, the God that heals us. So I don't care what the doctor has said. I don't care what the report is. That to me, it has to be just, we have to just recognize we have a higher calling. So say this with me, by his stripes, by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. So I receive it from the top of my head to the bottom of my toes. Now step out in faith and believe it as you partake. Righteousness is not our righteousness, it's his righteousness. Say, he who knew no sin became sin for me, that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now receive it by faith. Sing it with me. For you.
For you alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone make my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire.
Father, we thank you for your presence here today. We thank you for each person that's here today. We thank you for it. That we believe that you have led them here. And Father, we thank you that we would receive everything that you have for each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Well, look at your neighbor and tell him something good before you're seated. Can you do that?
Good morning, everyone. How's everybody doing? Great morning, right? Wasn't that a great worship? That was an intense worship. The Holy Spirit is always in this house. Amen. Believe whatever you're feeling of a body ache, whether it's your neck or your back, the heels, any type of pain. When you're taking communion, you believe that you were already healed. Amen. Just the power of his name. I told First Service that my husband had a month ago, like a really bad pain in his stomach all afternoon and all evening. And, you know, I just thought it was his gas that he suffers with. And we prayed and we went to bed, but he was up in the middle of the night. And he went to the dining room table and he just cried out, Jesus, over and over, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And he said he didn't feel that pain anymore. And you guys can say, well, it was a coincidence. But in our house, it wasn't a coincidence. Jesus healed him right then and there by calling out Jesus. Amen. So when you have that ache in your back or your neck or anywhere, you believe it when you're taking communion, church. Believe it that Jesus is still real today. He still speaks to each and every one of us, guys. He's alive. He's real. Believe it. As my husband cried out his name, he got healed. It's not a coincidence, church. He is powerful. He is real. He is alive in each and every one of us, church. Amen? So let's call upon his name. That's what we are being taught. That's what we are being taught here in this church, to praise the Holy Spirit, to believe and to pray upon the congregation, to go out and to pray the gospel because it never ends. Just because they say that we cannot preach it, we are his people that need to preach the gospel, amen? Because nobody else will do it in the public schools, in the workplaces, in anywhere, guys. We all should be carrying those postcards that Hope Community Church prints out. We should be carrying them and we should be spreading it. Is it sometimes awkward? Of course it is. Is it sometimes, that tense feeling? Yes. But who else is going to share it? Us. We have him inside of us. Let's not hoard Jesus. Let's spread Jesus to the world. Amen. Amen. So let's give a few announcements. So water baptism is coming up, church, October 23rd. If anybody wants to get baptized or rebaptized, come on down to the information center after the service and sign up. Sunday, October 23rd. Also, we're collecting milk jugs or 2-liter bottles. It's for the Christmas event. It's for a craft. So please don't throw them away. Bring them on down to the Children's Information Center that we're collecting them. Also, Signed Ministries every Saturday, church, from 9 to 11. A lot of families are coming by the Signed Ministry that we're doing every Saturday. Let's prioritize and be a vessel used. You guys can say, well, I don't have a talent or I don't have a gift. We all have something to give. And let's come out and let's hold a sign from 9 to 11 out there and let's bring more people into this house. Amen. Daily Hope is Monday through Saturday at 10 a.m. with our pastors. They go through the word with us, a chapter a day. Let's be diligent and let's keep that. I don't like to use the word routine, but let's just keep on being diligent to listening to the word that Pastor Joel and Pastor Isaac bring it to us every single day. I'm sorry? Savers, please bring in any donations that you may have right now. Please bring in any donations, please. We're collecting them for savers. Bring them on right here to the black box. Anything that you may throw away, don't throw it away. Bring it to Hope. Let us take it to savers, because we get a check for the new children's ministry that we will be building pretty soon. Amen, Pastor? All right, thank you.
Praise the Lord. So we thank God. Let's talk about tithes and offerings for a minute. Can we do that? And let me just tell you what, we don't back away from this. We lean into it. I said, we don't back away from that. We lean into it. We thank God for the opportunity we have to give. And we give the way God asks us to give, with a happy, hilarious heart. So, you know what? We set out to pay off our debt. We had $100,000 left to pay it off, and we're down to $12,795. Last week we raised $575. If the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit leads you, you know what, to give to the outdoor project that's for our patio, when we dismiss, you know what, you can get something to eat. You can go on to out there and just enjoy the patio. No sun, nice cool day. And it's just a blessing to be out there and be around people. And so we thank God for you and your willingness. So if you want to do that, that'd be a blessing. But let me just tell you what, the lie comes from Satan that if we give, we're going to have a deficit. But understand what happens. When you start partnering with God in your bringing the tithes and offerings in the storehouse, something happens, and now you're not doing your finances alone. Now, that's why Jesus said, give and it will be given to you. That's his promise. I said, that's his promise. So that's the reason why I don't back off. And I have pastor friends who might tell you, Pastor, you know, I've had people tell me, Pastor, you talk about finances too much. Well, listen, I don't know about you, but you know what? But the world is willing to tell you, you know what? You can spend $100-something for a pair of tennis shoes. Amen. And how many know Nike's got no problem telling you how awesome these shoes are going to make you feel and look, and you're going to be all that in a bag of chips if you just buy our shoes. You know what I mean? And then in 3 weeks, the shoes are all scuffed up, and whether it's Nike or somebody else, they're always buying for your money. Can I just tell you the truth? Out of all the things you do with your money, the thing that's going to last is your willingness to build the kingdom of God. That's what's going to last. That's what's going to survive. When you die, how many know everybody's going to die someday? When you die, nobody's going to go, look, he gave me his, 38-year-old's Nikes. Nobody's going to value those. Those are going to be the trash can. They're going to be in some landfill, you know, because it's just savers, exactly. All that is just a joke. But I'm going to stand up and say, listen, let me tell you what. When you prioritize your life, including your finances, and say, I'm going to be part of the solution. I'm going to fund the kingdom of God. I'm telling you what, there's not any of it that God doesn't notice. And I don't say this to be manipulative, but I do say this to get you to start thinking, because the world has no problem insisting, telling you, trying to sell you, you know, on where you should put your money. You know where you should bring your first fruits? In the house of God. That's what the Bible says. Father, I come in agreement with my wife. I thank you that we give at Hope, and we do it with a happy, hilarious heart. And we understand that you provide for us, and we thank you for it in advance. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand up to our feet. Let's continue to worship. Sing it with me. It's a new song. It goes like this. In him we live and move and have our being. In him we live and move and have Come on, let me hear you. In Him. In Him we live and move and have our being. In Him we live and move and have our being. Make joyful noise, sing it to the Lord. Tell Him of His love, dance before Him. Make joyful noise, sing it to the Lord. Tell Him of your love, hallelujah. In Him we live and move and have our being. In Him we live and move and have our being. Make joyful noise, sing it to the Lord. Tell Him of your love, dance before Him. Make joyful noise, sing it to the Lord. Tell Him of your love, hallelujah. Father, we lift up these tithes and offerings, and we thank You, Father, for the opportunity we have. We give with a happy, hilarious heart. We thank You for other people's lives that are going to be changed. We thank You for today, that there's people that are able to come and hear the uncompromised Word of God. We love You, God, with all our heart. We thank You for the opportunity we have to give. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Wow. Well, how many have your Bibles? Let me see. If you have your Bibles, put it over your head. You have your Bibles, put it over your head. Carlos, you look so nice today. I'm going to pick on you again. Man. Come on, brother. Help me out, man. Good to see you.
Happy Sunday, Hope Community Church. How are you guys? I'm dressed like this because I just got off of work. I got off of work early, so I was like, yes, I'm going to church. Amen. I got a couple jokes, Pastor. Is that okay? I mean, you guys want to hear a joke? Okay. I used to be addicted to the hokey pokey, but then I turned myself around. That was the brother that told me that. Okay, what did the plate whisper to the other plate? What did the plate whisper to the other plate? Dinner's on me. See, you guys get that. Amen. Okay, you got your Bible, put it in your head and say, this is my Bible. I can have what it says I can have. I can do what it says I can do. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm ready to receive the infallible Word of God. And having received the Word of God, I will do the Word of God. Amen. I have another one.
I want to hear it, man.
But this is a short one. The joke is the Angels made the playoffs. I'm playing, Pastor. I'm just playing. He's a Dodger fan. You love the Dodgers, right?
Yeah, I love the Dodgers. Carlos, I love the Dodgers. See, let me just tell you, my heart's big enough to love the Dodgers and the Angels. Not in that order, though, just by the way. Not in that order. If you have your Bibles, let's open up our Bibles to Hebrews. If I haven't introduced myself to you yet, let me do that. I'm Pastor Drew. My wife's Pastor Tamara. I'm sure she's busy doing something right now. She is a blessing to me. Amen. And I thank God for her. I know you do. I know y'all know. Well, praise the Lord. You love us both. Amen?
Amen.
I said you love us both, right?
Amen.
And we love you. Amen. And we thank God for what He's doing in this place. Today, you're going to be taught the uncompromised Word of God. And I'm going to teach it with authority and with confidence. And I will tell you this, that If you apply it to your life will be radically changed forever. But the reason why I'm teaching the Word of God is because that is our calling. It's because I really don't have a lot of wisdom, but if I have the belt of truth on, you know what? If we teach the Word of God, that is what's going to change your life. The best counseling sessions that you're going to have are primarily on Sunday as you listen to the word that is going to be preached to you, including today. I want to talk to you about obedience. Somebody say obedience.
Obedience.
Here's the reality that God speaks to people all the time. God speaks to Christian people all the time. Or I'll say it like this. God speaks to church people all the time. Amen. And some of them are obedient and some of them are not. Just examine your life just for 30 seconds with me. And recognize all the situations that you got yourself into because you weren't obedient to what God was asking you to do. Amen. Come on, am I here, someone?
Yes.
It's not that God wasn't speaking to you. It wasn't that you didn't have the way out. It's that you didn't take the way out.
Right.
See, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, or 1 Corinthians chapter 10, that there's no sin that is designed to overtake us. But with that temptation, everybody say temptation, God will provide a way out. See, the question isn't whether there's a way out. There is a way out. The question is, will you take the way out? And I want us to recognize what God is doing in this place. Let me just tell you prophetically what is going to happen. There will be a great revival. Somebody say great revival.
Great revival.
It is going to be a revival like we have never witnessed before on this earth. It will be the end revival that will usher us into the closing chapter. Let me just tell you the truth. And I don't care what. Listen. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will tell us things to come. We have the written word that is clear. Let me tell you the truth. 70% of all the prophecy in the Bible has already come to pass. God's track, let me tell you about God. He is impossible for him to lie. The Bible says he can't lie. And there will be a day when isn't 70%, it will be 100%. Every single prophecy that is prophesied in the Bible will have come to fruition. Every single one. Why? Because God cannot lie. The ending is going to come. And there are some of us who believe that the ending is right in front of us. I've heard that more in the last year than I've heard anything. And I believe it to be true. You say, Pastor, when? I don't know when. Here's what I can tell you what. It won yesterday. But I can't tell you it won't be tomorrow. Because it could be tomorrow. Look at your neighbor and say, one thing is true. We're running out of time. You say, oh, Pastor, you're going to teach on about revival? No, I'm not going to teach about revival. I'm going to teach about obedience. Because here's what I believe. I believe that God is preparing the church to grow. I said, I believe God is preparing the church to grow. You know, I heard one man that I absolutely loved and respected, and he said this, if the church would start to act like the church, there wouldn't be a seat empty in any service that we had. And I thank God because our first service was almost full and our second service is filling up. I said our second service is filling up. Amen. Hallelujah. See, we have to understand our calling. And our calling is to look more like Jesus than would have ever looked like Jesus. Let me tell you what. Jesus attracted people to him. And as we start to look and act more like Jesus and think more like Jesus, you know what? We're going to attract people to us. And we're going to point at Jesus and say, he's the reason why my marriage is what it is. He's the reason why, you know what, I can parent like I parent. He's the reason why in the midst of turmoil, you know what, I'm not crazy. Hello, somebody. He's the reason why, you know what, I don't smoke dope more, no more. He's the reason why, you know what, I don't watch pornography anymore. He's the reason. I used to be bound just like everybody else is bound, but now I'm free, and the reason is because of Jesus. Amen. 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 But how many in the house recognize that there's obedience, there's things that God is asking you to do, and you are not, come on, somebody tell the truth, and you're not so quick to do what he's asking you to do. Come on, there's one buddy in the house. Is it somebody else? You know what? I'm not talking about the easy stuff. You know what I mean? I'm not talking about, you know what, the easy things. I'm talking about there's things, and for a little while, they seem difficult. I'm talking about those things. God help us in a church when all we do is what's easy to us. Oh, you missed a good time to say amen there. God help us in our church when we only do what's easy, when we only love, you know what, nice people. When we only forgive people that ask for forgiveness. Well, if you don't have forgiveness, I'm not forgiving. Woo, Jackson. Where'd you get that in the Bible? Let me tell you, you didn't get that in the Bible. The Bible says, you know what, that we are to be forgiving people. We're to be quick to forgive. You know what? I'll tell you what. And we start to cop attitudes like the world cops. We're not to act like the world. We're to act like Christians. Yes. But I'm telling you the reality. The reality is there's things that are easy to do. You know what I mean? It's easy to love Georgie. You know what? It's hard to love. Oh, you thought I was going to go there. Oh. No. You guys are easy to love. All of you are easy to love. You know what? But it's hard sometimes. You know what? To love the people at Taco Bell. Can you say amen? Yeah. When they've got your order wrong 8 times. You know what I mean? I was someplace the other day. This is the truth. I wanted to say, hey, lady, I don't know what you're doing, but when you're ready to pay attention to me, then tell me. You know what? She kept on, oh, what is that? Oh, what is that? What is that? I was like, enough. I was at Starbucks. I don't even know how to teach Starbucks. I don't know how to talk Starbucks. You know what I mean? Pastor Joel ordered a tall. You know what I mean? He got the tall. I'm like, oh, my goodness. That's misinformation right there. That ain't a tall right there. That's the smallest thing I ever seen. You ought to be sued for misinformation right there. But I don't know all that language. You know, frente, you know, rake, take, pake. I don't even know what it is. You know what I mean? My wife's telling me this stuff. I'm trying to tell this other lady, and then she won't get what I'm telling her the first time. So I tell her it again. And they say, oh, I'm going to tell her it again. I was everything I could do just to not say, lady. Are we together? Because I'm not going to talk till you're with me. Amen. I mean, no, that might not be the best witness. Hallelujah. See, I'm just saying there's times that to be a Christian isn't easy. Let me just tell you this, but it's easier than not being a Christian. I'm going to show you that to you. And for those of you who think that kind of foolish behavior is anything but foolish, I'm here to declare, listen, you can spout off, you can let your emotions run wild, you can feel good for 30 seconds, and then the Holy Spirit will convict you and say, why do you talk to her that way? How in the world am I supposed to talk to her that way? And then when I get up to the front, say, oh, and what are you doing Sunday? Let me invite you to my church. How are you supposed to do that? And tell you what, you can't, and it takes away your witness. And you know what? And you know what all that's about? All that is about you anyway. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Have you found your place in Hebrews yet? Did I ask you to turn to Hebrews yet? Okay, I didn't even. Okay, I said Hebrews. Okay, Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to look at this verse, and then I'm just going to go over a couple things. You know what? And then we're going to leave changed by the power of the word. Amen. I said, then we're going to leave changed by the power of the word. Listen to me. Then we're going to leave thinking different. This, you know what this does? It washes your mind. Look at your neighbor and say, you need your mind washed. Hallelujah. And how many know we all need our mind washed? Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And let's look at the 11th verse. Guys, are we offline or something back there? Okay. Flow with me back there, guys. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. No discipline. I'm sorry, I usually read it out of the New King James. This is the NIV. I wanted to read it from the NIV today, just this verse. No discipline seems unpleasant. Say seems.
Seems.
Oh, no discipline seems pleasant at the time. My mom used to spank me. When she spanked me, she said, Drew, this is going to hurt me more than it does you. You know, I don't know, I was already in trouble, so I wasn't going to mouth off to my mom, but I thought, I don't think so, Mom. You know what I mean? And so as God disciplines us, sometimes we don't think, oh, this is going to be good. No, we don't think that. That's not what first comes in our mind. But I want you to understand, you will be in trouble if you just react constantly in your first impression. This isn't a point, but this is a good point, so write this down. You have two people living inside of you, the flesh and the spirit. Usually the flesh is so quick to react. Have you ever said anything, and after you said it, you thought, oh, I can't believe I said that? That's why James says, be slow, help me out. Be slow to speak. Because sometimes your comeback, you're like, yeah. I mean, just quick. It's boom. And then you're like, oh my. But that didn't come from your spirit. It came from your flesh. And if you're just reacting. See, if you're just reacting, because your flesh reacts, but your spirit acts. Here, somebody tweet that one down. That's a good tweet. Your flesh reacts. You do this, I'm going to do that. But your spirit doesn't act that way. Your spirit is proactive. It just acts. You're going to go, uh-uh. The spirit is measured. At first, the correction seems. Everybody say seems.
Seems.
See, it's not is, it seems. It seems. What does it seem? It doesn't seem pleasant. This is not a good idea. Later on. Somebody say later on.
Later on.
See, later on. However, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace. Pay attention to these words. For those who have been trained by it. See, sometimes we want the righteousness and we want the peace. How many have ever been in times in your life and the whole, like for a full month, you were just stressed? Come on, raise your hand if that's you, if I'm talking to you. Okay, listen, that's not the will of God. That's not the will of God for your life. God wants you to walk in peace. He wants there to be a righteousness, a right standing that you have with God, and it just permeates in this peace that you're walking in all the time. But watch this, but that doesn't happen to everyone. It doesn't even happen to everyone who's a Christian or everyone who comes to church. I like the scripture because it's telling us, how many know the scripture can read our mail? How many know God knows you better than anybody else knows you? So he's talking to us and he's telling us, hey guys, I understand how this works. I bring correction to you, and at first, it doesn't seem like it's a good plan. But the reality is, it is a good plan. And there's two different people. There's people that will submit to my will. They have a will, but they're going to put my will under their will. Sub is under. You're going to put your will under God's will, and you're going to do what he says. To those people, do you see this? However, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those people who have responded properly to my instruction. We used to sing this great song, and it went, we say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your ways. The proper response to God is yes. No matter what he's asking you to do. And let me tell you about God. He'll ask you to do things that are easy. And he'll ask you to do things that are difficult. And to both things, we need to say yes. Because those who will be disciplined by God, man, they're going to live a whole life. I've got three short points. It won't take me long to make, but I want to make those before you're dismissed. The first is this. Understand, the Lord is correcting you because he loves you. You know what messed Eve up? Pay close attention to this, what I'm going to say next. You know what messed Eve up? Eve allowed Satan to lie to her. But you know what Satan lied to her about? The goodness of God. You know what? I can't tell you how many Christians get messed up in believing the same kind of lie that he said to Eve. And it's that ultimately you don't understand that God is a good God and his commandments are not burdensome. If God's telling you to do something, he's not telling you to do it because he doesn't love you. He's telling you to do it because he does love you. How many parents in the room? Raise your hand if your parents in the room. Okay. If your parents in the room, you totally understand this. You're not yelling at your child because you want to harm them. You know, your son kicks the ball into the street. He's playing soccer, kicks the ball in the street. You see what he's going to do. He's 8 years old. He doesn't understand everything. He's not paying attention. He's like we are. We're not as smart as our father. So the father who's experienced life a lot more, you know what? The son, what's the son? He's just, sometimes that's how we are. We're just focused on this one thing. We don't see the big picture. We don't understand how one date with somebody. Oh, get ready to say amen to this. One date with somebody can take your life in a trajectory that it shouldn't go. Amen. We're just like that 8-year-old saying, oh, I'm just going to run after the ball. Oh, there's nothing wrong with this. And when we start to live a life of foolishness, just, you know, the Bible says there's a time to embrace and there's a time to refrain from embracing. Can I talk to the parents a minute? You know what? Some of us need to pay attention to what our kids are watching on TV. You know, when I started noticing that these, and they're like, oh, cute little half an hour, what do they call them? Sitcoms, you know what, that they're producing. They do two things. They mock the parents all the time. All the time. The parents are buffoons. Number two, they're having relationship, you know, these 12 and 13 and 14 and 11-year-olds, they're all dating each other. And that's what you throw in front of your kids, and you throw in front of your kids, and you throw in front of your kids over and over and over again. You know what the Bible says? There's a time. Listen, godly parents, let's start acting godly and recognize our 12-year-old needs help. Amen. They need godly help. They need godly wisdom. The Bible says there's a time to embrace and there's a time to refrain from embracing. There's a time when you shouldn't even be dating. Yeah. I don't know how many 18-year-olds, you know what, by the time they're 18, they have been in and out and in and out and in and out of relationships. Their heart's been broken over and over again. They've crossed sexual lines that they never should have crossed. And the world says, oh, it's no big deal. Oh, it's a big deal. I've talked to these 18, 19, 20-year-olds and recognized the pain that God didn't ever want them to walk in. Didn't ever want them to walk in. Listen, if you're a parent, you know what? Buck up and recognize, you know what? You got to be a parent. And we live in, if you're a parent, your life is more challenging than it's ever been. I'm going to do a series, you know what, pretty soon on the focus of Satan. And I'll tell you right now, the focus of Satan is mainly on our kids. And one of the callings in this church is to partner with parents and say, hey, we are here for you. And we don't know everything, but we do know some things, particularly out of the Word of God, that are going to help you parent your child, you know what, in the way they should go. Amen? Amen. That there are things that are hard and there's things that are easy. And whether they're hard or whether it is easy, it doesn't make any difference. We have to get an understanding that the reason why God is correcting us, you know what, is because he loves us. Amen. And there's people who stay away from church. You know what I mean? There's people who run from church. You know what? And ultimately, because at church, especially churches like these, you're going to be corrected here. Yeah. And we're not correcting you because, you know what, we think we're more righteous than you? Oh, my goodness. You know, if anybody needs some help, it's this pastor. Amen? No, really. I'm not here to self-righteously say, I got it all together and you don't. But I am here to say, you know what, that I'm working on my life. And I want to be obedient to God. And there's things that I see in the Word of God. And as I'm being obedient to the Word of God, maybe I can help you. And maybe we can see some things together that are clear on the Word of God. Because let me tell you what, God, and I'm getting way ahead of myself, but let me tell you what, the truth is God has a great life for you. But you're not going to walk in that great life and be disobedient to God. It just ain't going to happen, folks. Look at your life and examine your life. Number one, examine and understand this, that when God told you to do something, it wasn't because he didn't love you, it was because he did love you. Amen. Number two, understand this, that that the Lord is smarter than you. Way smarter than you. Somebody help me out with this. Come on. Put your hands up like this. Say, come on. Come on. Way smart. Do you understand? But how many know? Sometimes we don't think that. I mean, we get, okay, and we get all dramatic. But in real life, sometimes we think, I don't think that's. And sometimes I was one time I needed some paper. I was writing something. I wanted it to look really nice. I wanted some specific paper. I wanted it to be really nice. And there was three stationery stores that were on my way to work, and I knew where they were. And I just thought, well, I'm going to go to the first one, because that's the closest, and it's on the left side of the street, and so I like that. I'll hit that one first, and then if they don't have what I want, then I'll go to the second one, and if they don't have what I want, I'll go to the third one. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, just go to the third one. How many believe that God can talk to you about big things? Yes. How many believe that God can talk to you about little things? Yes. I hear people, you know, on the radio, and I hear them being sarcastic against people who believe that God speaks to them about little things. Well, let me testify. God has told me all kinds of big things that were huge. But I serve a God that is my friend. And he's willing to tell me about big things. He cares about everything in my life. And he wants to help me. But I sometimes think I'm smarter than he is. Am I the only one in the room? So I think, or sometimes it's just a matter of, we just get in ruts. This is how I roll. I roll like this. And this is how I roll. I don't want to go to the farthest. I want to go to the closest. And I don't want to go something on the left-hand side of the street. I want to go something on the right-hand side of the street. And the first one was on the right-hand side, and I liked that. So I parked my car, and I got out to check and see if they had the paper I want, and they didn't have any of that paper. So I got back in my car to go to the next place to get out, and that was on the right side of the street. So I got out and checked to see if they had the paper, and guess what? They didn't have the paper. So I got back in the car to go to the last place, which was on the other side of the street, which I hate doing that, and guess what? They had the paper. And they had the paper, and she said, oh yeah, we have that. That's on aisle 6. And I went to aisle 6, and they were discontinuing that paper. The very paper I want, they were discontinuing. It was 75% off. Pastor, I think that's, you can think whatever you want. This has happened to me over and over and over and over again in my life. That I have been disobedient to God in little and big things and been the one that recognized he's the smarter one in the room.
Yeah, amen.
Then there's been other times. We built that patio area. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, I want you to build it as soon as you can. Build it now. And it just didn't make any sense to me. To me. Somebody say to me. And I went to my wife and I said, honey, this is what I hear God saying every time in my prayer time. I just keep on hearing him say this. And she said, Drew, what does that mean? Because we've only raised half of the money to do that. Do you think God is asking you to borrow the money? I mean, no, God will tell you some things. I'm not saying that God, listen, there's clear things in the Word of God that are so clear. Thou shall not steal. You know what that means? Don't steal. Don't steal a candy bar. Don't steal a Snickers bar. Don't steal a big Snickers bar or a small Snickers bar. Amen? Just don't, I mean, no, that, but then there's other things that are, you know, I can't find in the Word of God to build a patio and do it on this date. I mean, that's not in the Word of God. But the Spirit of God is given to us, and Jesus said he'll tell you of things to come. That's what Jesus said. And so God was speaking to me. And I talked to my wife, and then we talked to some other people in the church, some people who we believed that, you know what, they were hearing from God too, and became so clear. Do you know if I built that, if we started building that today, you know what? We still wouldn't have even started construction. Because by the time we would have had enough to start construction, our construction prices went up double and would be farther away from starting than we'd ever been. But how many know God is smarter than that? See, there's a genius in the room. Here's what I want you to catch. But it's not you. Right? Right? And it's not me either. But see, if we'll lean not unto our own understanding, but acknowledge God in all his ways, his ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher. But here's the thing. The Bible says if you lack, watch this. It's like, yeah, but no. The Bible says if you lack wisdom, he'll give it to you freely. He gives it to you liberally without reproach. God hasn't left you here like an orphan that you got to figure it out yourself. You don't have to figure it out yourself. Oh, thank you. All you have to do is be humble enough to say, I don't know, God, help me, show me. And then when he tells you, just step out in faith and do it. Just step out in faith and do it. What's faith? Faith is simply trusting God. And sometimes it's difficult because your mind is shouting at you, that doesn't make any sense. And then you have all these people in your family telling you how dumb you are to bring the tithe into the storehouse. Well, they don't know. They don't know. But they think they're smarter than God. Or they don't even believe in God. My last point is this. Recognize this in your life. Understand this. Please, my third point. Please understand and recognize that you can have a great life. Yes. Somebody say a great life.
A great life.
I cannot understate this. Your life can be great. Amen. God has plans for you that are amazing. Amen. Can we go a little deeper? How many know we have plans in our life sometimes? I've told you the story, but I tell it to you again because it's such a great story. We have one child. Yay! Shayla! Love her! Then we have Tyler. Tyler! Yay! We love him! We have a boy and a girl. And our family is complete. According to me. It's when I work at the grocery store. I'm still working at Albertsons. And I'm driving to Albertsons one day. And the Holy Spirit begins to minister to me and say, Drew, you're going to have another child. And I say, no, God, two. And he says to me, and you see, you can mock me. You can make fun of me. Let me tell you what. I have a relationship with God. And God speaks to me, and he just does. And if he doesn't to you, then start to become intimate with God. And trust me, he will start to hear you. You'll hear him from the inside. I know this seems like crazy verbiage to people, but you know what's crazy to me? People of God that don't hear from God. That's crazy. And he says, and I say, you know, God, two. And he says, no, three. This is true story. And I said, no, God, dos. And he says, no, Drew, tres. Like I'm going to fake him out with the language switch on him. You know what I mean? Like he doesn't know. Like he's not so crazy. But the Holy Spirit started to minister to me. And that which I would be so fearful for. We were pastoring the church. I'm bivocational. My wife's down here working long, long hours. So am I. But I'm working. I mean, we're just trying to get this thing off the ground, working as hard as we can. And then God says, oh, you're going to have three. Wasn't part of our plan. I argue with God. And he says, just Drew, trust me. This third child is going to complete your family. So I come home. Don't tell my wife what happened. Wednesday comes and she says, Drew, I don't feel good. She's like lying on the bed. like, hey, woman, we got to go to, we're church people. We got to go to church. It's Wednesday. And she's like, no, I'm not going. I'm like, not going. You know what I mean? You need to get saved. And anyway, she's like, no, I'm not feeling good. I'm like, then I get compassionate. You know what I mean? I said, oh, honey, what's the matter? She says, my stomach feel a little woozy. And then she goes, you know what? I kind of feel like I felt when I was pregnant with Shayla. So she's like, oh, I'm not pregnant, you know, I'm not pregnant. And then I said, well, there's a pregnancy test. We had an upstairs and downstairs, a pregnancy test downstairs in the bathroom. She's like, where do you get a pregnancy test? I'm like, hey, when I bought one for Tyler, it was buy one, get one free. Like, praise God. Yeah, Jehovah Jireh, he provided for us. Anyway, I said, it's down there. You know what I mean? If you don't want to check, it's down there. I come home, and she's sleeping. I said, honey, huh? What's up? I want to know. She's like, what? I'm all, did you do the test? Are you pregnant? She's like, oh, yeah, I did the test. I don't even know. I mean, you don't know. Go in the bathroom, and we were pink, or whatever it did. I don't know. What's my point? Years later, from day one, I knew God's word was true, but years later, Megan is a lot of things, but she is such a woman of joy. Megan brought into our house, you know what, more than any of us, Tyler, Shayla, me, or my wife. And I'm pretty, you know, glass half full guy. But Megan brought this dimension in our house that was so great. What I'm saying to you is we need to recognize God is the genius. If he's telling us something, it's just because he loves us. His commandments are not burdensome. That's what John says. We need to start to lean into his obedience. Lean into God. Lean into oh my goodness, God, if you're telling me this, I know it's going to be good. How many been on both sides of the street? I've been on both sides. And what I want to do in the next coming years is I want to be quick. You know, the Bible says of when God asked Abraham to give his child up, you know, the Bible says he woke up early the next morning. Wow. You know, the Bible says when God is asking Noah to build an ark that seems impossible for him to build, it's going to take him years and years and years and years and years and years to build this boat. For at that point, rain that he doesn't even understand that concept. You talk about lean not into your own understanding. Watch this. And here's what he tells Noah. He says, build an ark for yourself. God is asking us to do things that are hard, not for him, but for you. Let's recognize the goodness of God and be like Abraham. Let's start being a lot quicker. Am I the only one here that's hearing this? Can we start? Could you raise your hand and say, Pastor, I'm hearing this message. I want to be one of the ones that are way quicker. I don't want to be so slow. I've been slow in the past. I don't know who that is. Keep your hand up. I'm going to pray with you in a minute. If that's you, Father, help us all who have our hands up. Help us to be so quick to do what God's asked us to do, whatever it is. Father, I thank you for every person that's here today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Tamron, I love you. Honey, you got something to say? Come on. I get it. I don't know. Just
okay. So we had one of our city councilmen with us in the first service. And if we shut up, shame on us, because God says differently. So I can't have, you know what, TV influencers, you know what, celebrities, I can't have politicians, anyway, I can't have someone telling me what to do besides God. Does that make sense? God trumps all of them. And if he said, you know what, that we need to pay attention to who's ruling, for us in America, that means voting. Now, I want to tell you just a quick one, because many of you might still be thinking, I don't know about this. You know what? She should not be standing in church talking about this. This is wrong. Well, I would question you, who told you that was wrong? First of all, because I heard it all too, and I disagree with it. My sister, I just went to Chicago. I'm from Illinois, and I went to Chicago because my niece got married, and my sister was getting her daughter dropped off at college. You know what? So she says, oh, help me. You know, we're going to take her up to her dorm room and everything, blah, 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 blah. So we did that. You know what? Went up there, got her all set up in her dorm. Yay. I get a phone call from my sister this week, and my sister and her husband are paying a ton of money, by the way, for her daughter to be at that school, just like many of you do, right? And this is what's happened. She says, her daughter calls her and says, Mom, guess what is happening here at the campus? And she said, what? And she said, all of the bathrooms, there's like the bathrooms, guys, girls, neutral, all this, but there's litter boxes being put in all the bathrooms. You say, well, wow, that's probably just a pet-friendly campus, right? No, it is a pet-friendly campus. She has a dog. But the litter boxes in the bathrooms are for the students, because many of the students are identifying as kitty cats. So you got to have a litter box for them. This is insanity happening in our nation. How do those litter boxes get in there? There's boards of education. There's people in control making decisions of what you're going to do and what you're not going to do, of what your freedoms are and what your freedoms aren't, and so on and so forth. Well, wait a minute. So now we got litter boxes. These people did just learn this. Do you understand this? I mean, this just doesn't, you don't come out of your mother's womb wanting to be a kitty cat. This is insanity that is taught. And the Bible, you know what, whether people recognize this or not, your Bible, you know what, taught us about this. This is called the God of Pan. This is pansexuality that has just been released in our nation, and it's being pushed and taught and shoved down the throats of little kids. This is a spiritual issue. Do you understand? This is not a personal choice. It's a spiritual issue. So are we going to worship Jehovah, God Almighty? Or do we want the God of Pan being worshipped? Well, how do you worship the God of Pan? Well, you make disciples. You tell them that they can be kitty cats and that you can be a kitty cat today if you want to. We have teachers in our nation being fired because they won't meow back at kids. Kids are coming in saying, I'm identifying as a cat. And if you don't acknowledge that as a teacher in that school and meow back, you're getting fired. This is the God of Pan. This is pansexuality. This is insanity. How does it all get there? People who vote. People win seats. They get voted for in positions. And then they worship their God. It's either Satan or God. That's it. So if you're not for him, you're. And if you're not out there sowing your seed of righteousness, your vote, then by default, what happens? You lose, don't you? And this is coming to all of us. Sooner or later, it will get you. You know what? Because this is what's happening. So we have to vote. If you're that person, you say, I'm not registered. I don't even know what to do. That's okay. We're gonna help educate you. Make sure you, first of all, you got to get registered to vote. And if you're not sure, we can figure that out too. There's a way to do that. And then we have to be looking at people's records, which there's Christian organizations who will give you like a guide sheet. And nobody's got time to research all this. You know what I'm saying? Some people do. There's organizations out there that do. And they hold the same values that we hold. And they'll let you know which candidate lines up the best. They do all of that so that you can go sow your seed towards someone who loves God. So that, back to the Bible, so that the righteous will rule and God's people will rejoice. That's what we're doing. Period. We're obeying God in this. So if you need some help, if you're that person, just come see me. We'll figure out, make sure you're registered. You won't be on your own. I'll let you know. I'll let you know where you vote and how you vote and give you a guide so that you can go in there and figure it all out, okay? I mean, you figure it out before you go in, and then you literally take a little cheat sheet with you. They come to your house and you fill them all out. So you got time and relax and get it all done. And then when you go in, you've got your thing and you just copy your paper and vote, and that's it. Super simple. And we'd love to help you to make sure that you vote. Councilman Elias, who's in our city council, has been our mayor also, is very friendly to the churches. He's very much about representing the people. And he wants to hear your voice. What do you want? It's one of the things that I love about him. So we need to be sure that we vote, and I want you to get a chance to get familiar with him so you can see, is this a guy you want to vote for? And then you figure out who you want to vote for and do just that. I just have the coffee house announcements, and that's it. Okay, are we good? Okay, all right. Oh, thank you. All right. And then in the coffee house today, anything you purchase here, it helps support the children's new fun zone that we're doing. We're going to start with a big remodel on the nursery. We have many, many people with new babies, and we just need a bigger nursery. So thank God for that. Yep. And so we've got some preliminary things that we started, but we've got much to do, and we're raising the funds for that. So every time you choose to eat here instead of somewhere else, you're helping to support that. So we appreciate that. Plus, most of our food's all homemade, and it's so much better. So, and it's a better price, too. So we have chorizo tortas today. The bread is, I had one, it's just amazing. And then chorizo, potato, and egg. So if you guys stop back there, there's condiments back there. You can get one of those after service. Caramel frappuccinos and chocolate frappuccinos, they're fabulous. And again, a better price than across the street. Cherry, mango, and watermelon slushes. So stop back there. There is some home baked goods, which are lemon curd thumbprint cookies. If you love lemon, you've got to go get those. And some lemon curd mousse. It's amazing. It's got a little blueberry on it. So nice. And then banana nut muffins and pumpkin strudel muffins. And if you haven't tried the Hope's Blend coffee, if you like iced coffee, we have it iced or hot. It's so good. Fresh ground beans. It's amazing. It's good stuff for you, too. That's it. You want this, don't you?
Thank you, honey.
Okay, wait. Second service. You're the only ones to hear this, so I need you to put the word out for me, okay? So I hope you've been missing our lunches. So next week, yeah, that's right. Check this out. Barbecue beef brisket, homemade mac and cheese. Listen, if there's anyone who knows how to barbecue, it's Anthony Aroha. Big time. Yeah, look at it. And then he's paired lovely with his wife, who sure does know how to cook. So she's going to make some homemade mac and cheese. That homemade beef brisket and nice barbecue sauce. And then we're going to have that with a roll and, some baked beans. How about that? And so it's going to be awesome. So next week, after first and second service, we're going to be serving lunch out of the kitchen. You can go out in the patio and enjoy it. So you don't want to miss that. So be sure you hang on to your, if you're budgeting, then cut something out this week and be ready for Sunday, okay?
Short note, Tamara, I'm going to be talking to the Teen Challenge students. If you want to be there for that meeting, you might need to be there for that meeting. That's going to be right after the service,
okay,
just for 10 minutes.
Curtis and Ariel need some help in the nursery, too, real quick.
Yeah. Tony, can you go? Can you grab a couple guys on your way out? They need some help right now. All right. Let me just say this as far as what Tamara said. How many notice us going from ungodly to more ungodly to more ungodly to more ungodly? How many notice that? Am I the only one? Okay. All we're saying is, guys, we thank God that we live in America because we are the ones who are choosing our elected officials. And many times, we just got too busy. And there's Christian men and women that love God and love the principles of the Bible that would do real well if we paid attention to who they were. But we're just too busy. We can't be too busy to do this. Shake your head like this if that makes sense. Thank you. All right. How many enjoyed being here today? Let me pray over you. Father, we thank you for the presence of God today. We thank you for the word of God. May we leave changed by the power of the word. Thank you for each person that's here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I have two more announcements. Tonight we have Esperanza. If you have friends that are looking for a great Spanish-speaking church, please invite them. And then one more thing. We don't meet on Sunday. We meet on Sunday and Wednesday. So if you're one of the people that you come constantly every Sunday, but you don't come Wednesday, let me invite you to that service. It's a midweek service. Sozo is in the youth group is jamming. All the kids' stuff is jamming on Wednesday. It's so awesome. And I'm in John teaching the word of God. It's so amazing. We love you and God love you. Have a great day. Have something to eat before you leave. You are dismissed.